Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Today's sermon is based on the gospel lesson. Really, there's two verses in here that are central to what Jesus is teaching. We will cover them both. First is verse 6. Jesus says, "And blessed is the one who is not offended by me." And then the final verse from the reading, "Truly I say to you, among those born of women there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist, yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." And blessed is the one who is not offended by me, Jesus says. Those who love justice and righteousness in this life can stumble in their faith when Jesus calls them to suffer. So John in prison sends his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one to come, or shall we look for another?" Jesus has come to heal our sickness of sin. And that happens in the preaching of him crucified. He has come to reconcile us to God, to give us new birth. He came to give us his Spirit, to make us saints and holy people. But perfect justice is something reserved for the world to come. And so John the Baptist, or his disciples, are doubting, in some sense, that Jesus is the Christ. We read, "Now when John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to Jesus, 'Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?' And Jesus answered them, 'Go and tell John what you hear and what you see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. And the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me.'" You see, in the beginning of Jesus' ministry, in fact, before Jesus was even baptized, John was the one in the wilderness preaching that Jesus would come in judgment with a winnowing fork in his hand to clear the hypocrites out of God's kingdom like so much chaff. He was to preach and to prepare the way for the Messiah, though he even admits he isn't worthy to untie his sandals. John was reluctant to baptize Jesus when he came, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and you would come to me?" And when he saw Jesus, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." It's hard to imagine that John wouldn't know that Jesus is the Christ. But now John is in prison. Hypocrites are still being hypocrites with impunity. And John's preaching appears to reach an anticlimax. If Jesus is the Messiah, where is his winnowing fork? If Jesus is the Messiah, where is the judgment and the clear-cut victory for his people? Could it be that Jesus is not the one to come, that there will be another? Now, I should say, in the history of preaching on this text, way back to the earliest days of the church, there's been some disagreement about who is doubting Jesus here. Plainly, it seems to me that the text is saying that John is the one asking Jesus the question from prison. He just sends his disciples as the messengers of the question. Are you the one to come, or should we look for another? But many of the early church fathers, including Martin Luther, believed that John never doubted who Jesus was. He was only sending his disciples to ask the question so that they could hear the answer from Jesus themselves. That it's John the Baptist's disciples who were the ones really doubting. They understood the text this way because John had already given clear testimony about Jesus. Therefore, it can't be that he doesn't know he's the Messiah. And heaven forbid, he was doubting. Now, the point is really immaterial to the text here. But it's pretty plain that it's wrong to think that John the Baptist couldn't be doubting at this point about Jesus being the Christ. First, Jesus never explicitly says he's the Christ to John, at least as recorded in the Bible. And largely, in Jesus' ministry, he doesn't go around saying, "Hey guys, I'm the Christ." Instead, he preaches, he heals, he raises the dead, and by his deeds, faith is aroused to freely confess, as Peter does. "You are the Christ. You are the Christ." So intellectually, John might be thinking, "Did I assume more of Jesus than he claimed to be?" Also spiritually, there is nothing wrong with thinking that John the Baptist could simply be having doubts about Jesus spiritually. Now, doubts are never good, and contrary to much blasphemy that passes as theology today, we don't embrace doubt as though it were a virtue. Doubt is very often an excuse for rebellion. But doubt can happen in a way that doesn't signal rebellion, but is merely a confession of one's own weakness. A father whose boy was possessed with a demon comes to Jesus and asks him for healing. When Jesus responds, "All things are possible for one who believes," the man says, "I believe. Help my unbelief." Remarkable saying. "I believe. Help my unbelief." This is proof positive that those who believe in Jesus can doubt in weakness of faith and yet have the faith to pray for more. Regardless, be it that John or his disciples, somebody is doubting here, or God forbid, somebody is actually testing Jesus. The teaching of this gospel culminates in these words: "Blessed is the one who is not offended by me." This literally means, "Blessed is the one who does not fall away because of me." Jesus comes first to heal and to save, not to judge and to punish and to condemn. And this can be an offense, a scandal, literally a cause to fall away. Our enemies, sin, death, and the devil, still seem to prevail in this life, despite the Messiah having come. And the contrast between what we are promised and what we see is so stark sometimes that it taxes the faith of our frail natures to endure. Many who have faith, yet are struck with a horrible disease, ask, "Why me?" It doesn't compute that a great and mighty God who is pleased with me because of the righteousness of my Savior would make me suffer in such a way. I remember reading in my high school years about Henry David Thoreau, and he entered into a severe depression because his younger brother, who was his closest friend, nicked his finger while shaving, got tetanus, developed lockjaw, and died within a month. All because of a little cut on his finger. The injustice was staggering and crippling to the man. So too, John the Baptist, Jesus' biggest supporter, is carted off to prison and about to die because of a hasty vow Herod makes. And Jesus is the one who's supposed to liberate the captives, but he does nothing about it. So in this season of Advent, we realize the sometimes stark contrast between the promises of the first coming and second coming of the Messiah. Gaudet is the Latin word for this Sunday, meaning rejoice. Rejoice. In the midst of suffering and injustice, rejoice. As the hymn, Abide With Me, contains the famous phrase that when we ask for God to come, we ask Him first to come in mercy, that we can stand in His presence. The verse says, Come not in terrors as the King of Kings, but kind and good with healing in thy wings. Jesus came first in blessing, and He says, Don't be offended by me. He then teaches the crowds about John himself, how John didn't look like a successful man in soft clothing, but he was a suffering man. And that is fitting for a true prophet of God in a world of sin and of unrighteousness. But Jesus says, Among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. You see, John was still preaching under the old covenant as a preacher of Israel. We who know that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, we are greater than he. Not in that John is condemned, but to one like John, the means of his salvation were not fully manifested in his day. And we have an advantage and a comfort that far surpasses the condition of John the Baptist. We who are born of water and of spirit have the confidence that our sins have been washed away through the coming of Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins, was raised for our justification, and now gives us the means to stand before God justified. We know the Messiah. We know His identity. We know His works. We know He came first in healing, and we know He will come again in glory. We may be the least in this world, but through faith in Jesus Christ, we are the greatest in His kingdom, because we have the confession that Christ has come, and He will come again. Till that day comes, we ask our Lord for faith to prepare us for His advent. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise. And now the peace of God, which passes our human understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We turn now to page 158 as we confess the mystery of our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. Page 158.